Thank you for listening.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh, let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. Stanya Davis here. This is Tell It to Stanya. I am she and she is me. I swear, listen, Brittany always has catch me by surprise with the start of the show. I be doing my own little thing in my own world and brought on the theme song. And I'm like, okay, all right, let's go. So we only have an hour, so we're going to just jump on in. Today we're going to talk about how to raise a uniquely, all the English teachers, let me know, different purpose-driven child. I even had a chance to even log on to Facebook and do my little live stream. Jeez, what is this? What a time. So this is what we're talking about today. We do have a guest who is in studio today. I believe Brittany is on the way to go and collect my guests. So before they arrive, I just want to go through a few things with you. Now, I have two daughters. But today I'm talking about specifically my younger daughter and what I did to get her going, to get her where it is that she is now, which is, by the way, in college. My baby will be back next week. Woohoo! All right. So I have kind of, I don't want to call it strange beliefs, but there are some things that I think that I definitely would have done different with her. So I want you to bear with me, listen to me, and also give me a message or a text or a call. And of course, the telephone lines are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. And the text line 422-4796. So I'm talking to persons who want to do it differently, who really want their children to excel. They want them to be strong. They want them to, and when I say strong, I'm not talking about, you know, strong with hard mouth and all these other things that we sometimes associate with strong. I'm talking about how to be secure in who they are and how to travel that path to where it is that they want to be. Notice I said where they want to be and not where you maybe want them to be. So I have a few things that I want to share with you, and afterwards, I guess we'll take a break and then we'll have our guest, because he's going to also share how you can get your child enrolled in college, like 1, 2, 3 kick. Hello, someone. So here we go. Here are some of the things that I did with my daughter, and I know they work because she's proof. Hello, somebody. Now, some of these things I would have shared maybe in the past during a show, but I'm going to share it again because sometimes you always forget to remember. I just say it. So first thing, I definitely talked about this one. Okay, so the first thing is, as a little person, this is what I would do. I would pull down 2 outfits and I'd ask my daughter, which one do you want to wear? Now, I know that sounds kind of cheesy and it's like, okay, what is the big deal in asking her this question? But it's that it allowed my daughter, it gave her or it empowered her to make her own choice and decision. It allowed her to be secure. You know, we have to train our children to make their own decisions, because a lot of times we see children and they're following the crowd and they're not comfortable making a decision. So I started from early with my daughter, where I would, like I said, and I'm talking about as early as maybe like 2 years old, or maybe even 1. Where I would allow her to pick out what she wanted to wear. And of course, it would be under my guidance, because I mean, hey, I did pull out too. Hey, hello. So it's still what I really wanted. But anyway. All right. The second thing that I would have done with my daughter, and this is about honestly embracing the different. You know, we talk about, I'll say in a world where sometimes we are forced to conform. I wanted, or what I know is that the world is waiting on different. So one of the things, or the second thing that I would have done with my daughter, daughters in this instance was I exposed her to different people. Because if your child is on a mission, Jarastafari, send me for the mission, can't fail. Just listen, that song been in my head for the last 2 weeks. But anyhow, I digress. All right, so I would expose her to different people, different nationalities, people who also live life on their own terms, people who were also very different. So if I met someone interesting or who had a very interesting job, I would say, okay, excuse me, can my daughter interview you? Can my daughter speak with you? And so she would. So at one point, I think this was maybe like a last two, she had someone that she would meet with via Zoom once a month. And these were people who told her about different things. So they were life teachers in their own respect, whether or not it was simply just even a police officer, whether or not it was someone who was an architect, a business owner. It was people who just had something different. So it was very refreshing, or she saw things from a different angle. Because if you're preparing them for a unique future, they're going to meet different people and they need to understand. And there needs to be a self-awareness that this person or this child should have about themselves and about others. So we're preparing our child for the future. Let's go. Number three, I totally encourage my daughter to embrace her individuality. Like I said earlier, you know, we live in a world where, I mean, even at schools, you got to wear the same thing. You got to wear the same tennis. You got to look the same. You got to do everything the same. But not everyone is the same. And what I wanted my daughter to know, or this is like a little secret, or I don't know. Yeah, this is a secret, or maybe everyone knows, but we just play as though we don't. God created us differently. And he did that. Of who we are is exactly what we need to get the job done. So I wanted my daughter to really embrace that she is a black gal. That's right. I wanted her to embrace that she looked different. I wanted her to embrace the fact that she had different thoughts, different interests from persons or people who, you know, her peers. I wanted her to totally embrace the different of who she is, because I knew that, you know, it's our job as parents to prepare them for the world. On a serious note, it's our job to prepare them for the world. Now, I could touch this just a little bit and y'all could agree, disagree, whatever. I ain't care too much today. Today is the day, I mean, I ain't caring too much. That's right. Okay. So, and I'm going to go back and forth and, you know, eat up the meat, eat the meat and then spit out the bones. In embracing her individuality, I wanted her to also embrace others or other people who were totally different as well. And so I'll tell you this. It's our job to prepare our children for the big world. And in the big world, they're going to be different people. So, you know, sometimes you say, like I hear people say, oh, well, I don't want my children to be around. It's the hot topic now. It's the hot one. I don't want people, my children to be, which is so retarded, by the way. It's very silly. But anyhow, I did that. I remember as a little person, my daughter was watching, I think it was Oprah. Boy, it always is Oprah. and so that came up. And so I wanted her to understand what that was, because she's going to face this. She's going to see different people. She's going to see people who don't have the same beliefs or the same interests or the same whatever it is. So I wanted her to also see what that looked like. And have a conversation about it as well. We're preparing them for the future, and this is what the future looks like. You have to prepare your children for the future. Not tell them, you know, not, okay, this is what I want you to do, or blah, blah, blah. But you're preparing them. You have to let them know that what is out there. I also, number four, I encourage my daughter to explore her interests. Now, you know, in our household, myself, my older daughter, and my younger daughter, we all have different spiritual beliefs. We all see God in different ways. And I allowed my children to express that. I allowed my children also to express or explore their interests in terms of, let's say, at one point my daughter wanted to go in Miss Teen Bahamas. And so, you know, I was excited, boy. I was ready. I was like, yes, boy, my daughter got this. I done spent up the little money. I done get the makeup artist. I had coaches for her, everything. Listen, I was ready for war. But why right after I done pay all my money, the child come right back, tell me she ain't into that no more. But I wanted to support her. So in preparing your child or your children for the future, your children, if you see that there's an interest that they have, go full throttle. Personally, for me, as a grown beep woman, when I left my good government job, my dad, everybody was against me. You know, my mom wasn't on my run. Nobody, everybody thought I was crazy. But it was my father who said, well, you've always been my daughter who did her own thing. You'll be okay. And that's the only thing I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear was my father gave me the okay to be me. So sometimes as parents, we have to support our children and let them know that it is okay for them to have a dream and to live that dream. Will it always work out? No. But this is what life is about. We only got one time, one chance to live. So let them live. The fifth point that I want to share with you are things that I would have done with my daughter in particular, the younger one. And y'all will understand in time why the younger one. It was the older one too, but like I said, you will understand in time. There were times when I allowed her own business, handle her own conflict. So for example, let's say there was a situation at school and I would say to her, okay, how do you think you should resolve this? What is best? And so she would think and she would say, okay, mommy, I will do this, do that. Now the law, the rule was always, I'm going to allow you to handle it. And if you cannot handle it, if it get out of order, then mommy will step in. But I allowed my daughter to resolve her own conflict. And as I asked her, hey, what should you do? What should you not do? I just acted as a guide for her. But what if you do this, or a coach? But if you do that, Malia, what will happen then? Or how would this person feel? Because what I'm now doing is that I am allowing her to think. I am, you know, the whole thought process. And I'm empowering her to make her own decisions. There's so many young people out here, and I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. There's so many young people out here. They can't make their own decisions. They're followers. They're not leaders. You know, they are afraid to make a decision. So they go with what somebody else says. And so I didn't want my children to be like that. I wanted my daughter to make her own decisions and to be in control or somewhat destiny. And of course, learn how to resolve conflict. And that's a big thing too. That's why a lot of times, you know, we see crime and there's a lot of factors. But one part of it is that we never taught our children how to resolve conflict in a healthy way. We didn't. We didn't teach them. We didn't tell them what to do and how to do it. We didn't walk them through it. So that's my fifth point, allowing your children to make their own decisions and to resolve their own conflict. And as simple as even when, you know, when they got their little friends and this happened or whatever, walk them through the process. The sixth thing that I did was, okay, earlier I said that I exposed her to different people. I also thought that it was very important for her to have positive male and female role models. I wanted her to see how women acted and how men behaved. And so, okay, you know, maybe you don't have the male role model, but there's somebody around, I have to tell you. For my daughter, it was Uncle Javi. You know, Uncle Javi, listen, you better try to go to church with Uncle Javi. who would pick her up, who would affirm her too. It was Mr. Craig who would tell her all the time, you know, Malia, you know, I like this about you, or whatever it was. It's my godbrother, Ron. It's my father. It's my stepfather. Who would provide for her, yes, but also take her out and show her different things. So it was important for her to see good men and also good women too. So I exposed her to good women as well. So it's important for you to, as a parent, to fill in the gap. If there's something that is missing out of your child, to fill in the gap. Because, you know, we're talking about the uniquely different child. The uniquely different child has some little issues sometimes going on. But we're preparing them for the future. And it's important that we help them to be a better version. It's important that we help them to be self-aware. Because if not, they wouldn't even live their purpose. I could tell you right now, working with young people, a lot of them are gifted and skilled. But it's the emotional stuff. It's where they've been on their journey. It's the people who have been in their life and who have not been in their lives that actually contribute to their downfall. All right. Moving right along. Something else, number seven, something that I did with my daughter. I showed her how to be alone, that it was okay. Now, does that mean don't get married? Don't do? No, that's not what I'm saying. But to be okay with being alone. Because when you are a different person, oh, you could feel alone many times. But I'm here to tell you today too, and this go for parents right now. The only way you are ever alone is if you abandon yourself. The only way you are ever alone is if you abandon yourself. So I wanted my daughter to be okay with sometimes being alone. Because when you're on purpose, not everybody is going to buy into your purpose. Not everyone will see you. They won't get you. They won't understand you. And that could be a very lonely thing. So how did I show her or train her to be alone? Okay, like I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Now, this was tricky, Stania. This was really me being sleepy and wanted my own me time. But I would say, okay, Malia, it's me time. During me time, you get to do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, Malia, you could go and do it. You could go play in your little dollhouse. You could color. You could do. Okay. And then that even went on as an adult. And we do this even now with the little people, or, you know, they're grown now. If we go to the movies, everybody go to their own movie. So, you know, we say, okay, now y'all, we can meet at the movies. Okay, we meet right in the center, then everybody go in their own movies. Because I wanted my daughter to be okay with having her own self as companionship. You know, we have a lot of, you know, we have our children and we say, oh, it's a bad company. Oh, and that's another thing. Oh, I got to tell, see, I talk about uniquely different, but I telling you all everything but parenting too. A lot of times, you know, we don't like the company that our children. I never told my daughter not to hang out with someone. I could tell you all this. Now, I may say, boy, I know, but that one now. But I didn't. Because if you do that, you know what they could do? Straight ahead to that person. But I would guide it and I would watch it. Okay. All right. So me time was something that I did to train my daughter that it's okay to be alone, to be by yourself at different times. It's okay. And we have to do that. We have to train our children so that they know that they don't always have to be with company all the time. It's okay. You know how many adults right now, they can't go nowhere by themselves. Or they in relationships right now. They don't even want to be there. But you know what they're afraid of? Of being alone. That's right. I'm talking to you. You who listening to me. So we don't want our children to be that way. All right. Number eight. I only got like 10 now, so I own number eight. Number eight, for how or what do you do to raise a purpose-driven, unique child? You affirm they're different. you let them know. You know, a lot of times, you know, we want our children to be a certain way. We want them to be very, very smart. Oh, they got a, and we even punish them. This is some craziness, eh? We will punish our children if they're not smart, if they don't get A's and B's. This is crazy, eh? Because, you know, I sure enough got plenty beaten as a child. Plenty beaten as a child. But you as the parent who is now raising this child who is uniquely different and you want to prepare them for the future, it is your job to not concentrate or focus on what your child does not have or do not have. It is your job to focus on what it is that they do have. Okay? A lot of times, what we're looking for is their strengths. And I can tell you this right now. Strength don't always look like, oh, well, they did get this or blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you all what sometimes our strengths look like, or a clue and a key to our future and our purpose. Y'all ready for this one? Okay, here we go. It is actually sometimes what we get in trouble for. It's not always that we was good at baking or we was good at, we got all A's. Sometimes the strength is wrapped up in the child who keeps on going to, you keep finding them in the pool or in the beach. They always want to go swimming, or they like to go fishing even as a child. It is wrapped up in, okay, the child who talks too much in class. Perhaps this child is supposed to be a talk show host. Hi, hello, somebody. Or I cut it by here for talking too much in class. Jesus Lord. Did I know that this is where I would be? No, I did not. But what I do know now is that it was always inside of me. And it is in your child as well. We have a blueprint for success, a unique blueprint for success. Every single part of who we are, we were created for a purpose. It's our job as a parent to uncover this, to see your children through the eyes of God. What are they really, really good at? And it's okay. It is so okay if they did not get good grades. It's okay. I'll tell you this. Most people who have a learning disability, they actually come out, or they have above average, average and above average intelligence. Some people, they didn't get their A's, but they could go outside and build a house. They have skills. So it's your job as the parent to embrace those strengths and to affirm your child and everything that they do. I'm telling y'all, this is what I do. This is what I do with my clients. This is what I do to get people to change. This is what I do to get people to become empowered. So you as the parent, you are to affirm your child. If they even wash the dishes well, you say, oh my goodness, good job. You really did a good job with that, because you're building their self-esteem. You're letting them know that they have worth and value and that they are definitely good at something. It is your job to affirm them. The ninth one, and I tell you, only got 10. I think I even didn't say some of these things. I just talk so much. But anyway, that's why I hear, bam, hello. Okay. The ninth one is to allow this uniquely different child the freedom to speak respectfully. If something happens, give them what we do in our family. We have family meetings, and everyone, no matter how young you are, you could call a family meeting. And during the family meeting, what we say is that, okay, this is a forum where you can say, hey, you hurt my feelings, or I didn't like when you did this. You have to, or we have to, give our children space to say how they really feel. The days are gone when we say, shut up your mouth. What happened in this house is stay right inside this house. I don't want to hear nothing from you. Those days are gone. And it got to be gone, you know, because there's so many people who suffered not just being silent. There's so many people whose voice have been silenced because of that same type of parenting. Those days are gone. You have to give your children, your uniquely different child, your sensitive child, freedom and a space to say when they are hurting, to say when someone offended them, to voice their opinions. And I'll tell you this now, allow them to speak. Sometimes it's even okay for them to tell us when we are wrong. Believe it or not. Yes, it's okay, guys. And the final one, the big number 10, the 10th thing that you can do as a parent. Everything is a teachable moment. You are here to be a guide. You are here to be the coach, the mentor. So if I'm watching something and I see something happen, I say, oh, okay, what do you think about that? What about this? Did you see how this happened? What's your perspective? I point out good behavior. I point out these things. Every single thing is a teachable moment. If you are trying to direct your child and guide your child, everything is a teachable moment. And let me tell you, this is the big one. This is the last point in terms of raising this uniquely different child. You, as the parent, must be the teachable moment. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to be back with Mr. Bullitt, and he's going to tell us how you can really, really help your child live their life on purpose through college and everything else. We'll be right back.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Candy Cane Carnival, brought to you by Nassau Cruise Port, December the 7th, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. This free holiday event is perfect for the entire family. Enjoy sweet treats, fun games, and amazing performances by the All-Star Band, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Rhythm and Youth, St. John's College Choir, Bloody and the Scotch Conk Band, and more. This Saturday, meet us at the Candy Cane Carnival at Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back. I am here with my guest. And let me tell you all now, I went to school with my guest. Listen, Gino, you look good, man. You look like you just come out of school. And of course, we have Gino Bullitt. He's the president of Noble Preparatory Academy and also an international recruitment manager for the Caribbean from Niagara College. All right. So now I know you were listening to me talk earlier about, you know, the points with parenting and raising the child and all that stuff. Now I know, like, what do you see? Because you're at Noble, what do you see and not see in terms of children, in terms of the parenting, in terms of the support, in terms of raising children who may be a little different?
All right. Good afternoon, Bahamas Hope, all as well. And definitely it's a pleasure being here with you, Stanya. And yes, we do. It's a pleasure to be able to sit here and discuss these matters with you. But let me introduce myself again. My name is Gino Bullitt. I'm the president of Noble Preparatory Academy, and I'm also the manager of the Caribbean for Niagara College that's located in Canada. So to address the question that you asked, Anya, I think that we have a lot of, I would say, things that I've experienced during my time in education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially because now I've been more targeted with education because I own my own prep school, right? Mm-hmm. We've been around from 2011 now, and you can imagine over the years I've been able to gather a whole lot of information and observations of some of the issues I could say that's facing our country with education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could say from having to really manage a lot of students coming from no matter which sector it is in education, whether it's from the private or the government sector, most of it is kind of consistent straight across the board. Like, we have students who are coming in with a lot of comprehension deficits. Mm-hmm. We have students who are coming in with a lot of home issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have students that are coming in from, they have realized that they don't have to really work hard and be elevated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you could imagine from coming from a system where you really didn't have to show up, to go into a system where you have to be accountable, right? Sometimes you have students that are in a real hole, I mean, a deficit. So
mm-hmm.
if they're supposed to be, let's say, on a ninth grade level, and sometimes they're coming in at a seventh grade, you
right.
know?
That's so, if you're lucky.
Yeah, that's being generous right there,
right.
you know? I'm being generous, but sometimes we realize that the students are at age, but not academically sound for the age that they're supposed to be, you know? And you could count that up to a lot of different issues like social ills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things was the pandemic a couple of years ago that really put like a two-year gap in education. And for students who really wasn't focused during that time already before the pandemic, you could imagine that that two-year gap is still relevant today.
Right.
You know, so the fundamental gaps, education, also home environments, you know, a lot of time is really invested with us in our school mentoring parents, you know what I mean? And
really?
Trying to school parents and being parents, you know? So it's just a revolving door with a cycle of issues that we see that's coming from social ills that are really affecting education straight across the platform.
So what do you think, what are we not doing? Because, okay, of course you own your own school. I was in education for almost, I think it was 12 or 13 years, and what it seems is though, in many cases, we keep doing the same thing again and again. I mean, you're seeing the same thing year after year, and we know what the issues are, but yet we pretend as though we don't know what the issues are. And even when we know what the issues are and we're not pretending, we're definitely not doing, we're not changing. We're just doing the same thing again and again. And then we say, oh, we have this D average, or we have these children who are not prepared for the real world. And we have, you know, this, that, and all this stuff. So I know you need to do, but what do you think, or what do you do differently from other people?
All right. So one thing that I can say that we definitely do different is hold not only our students, but teachers and everybody that's affiliated with Noble Prep accountable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Accountability starts from the top and it goes down to the bottom. So we could also look at one of the things you just asked about the state of the country as far as education. It's like, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Everybody know what the issue is, right? We drive around the street every day and we see delinquency. We see students that's supposed to be to school 9 o'clock in first period and they just walking around 10 o'clock in the morning. So
right.
It's not like this is a big secret. It's just that the priority is not in fixing the problem, right?
Right.
See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. And then these same students are the ones that integrate into society as adults that can't function right. right? But how could they function right if they haven't received the most valuable education and tools to be successful in society that's supposed to learn during the school time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comprehension skills is one of the main things, right? You can't read and write. You can't understand what people are talking. Anytime someone may say something more than a one-syllable word, which is rat, cat, mat, sat, because you don't know syllables go more than one, two, and three,
mm-hmm.
someone use a syllable and three, a word in three syllables, you're thinking they talking with you, you know what I mean? Like, so
right.
It's a lot of deficits that create that type of stuff that's going on in society. Analytical skills, deducting and reason skills, like all these things you learn during your high school time. To go to school, if I don't have to go to school, if I don't have to go to school, in September I just noticed this too. You know, we're located on Nassau Street, so driving past, we pass T.A. Thompson, we pass C.C. Sweden, we pass like
several
a lot
schools.
Of different mm-hmm. schools. And the students are just free to walk around, free to walk around, free to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
But if these students have English first period, mm-hmm. right, math mm-hmm. first period, and they're not attending or they're not being held accountable to attend, how are they going to grade 10? How are they going to grade
social
11?
Promotion.
Right? But this is what we're talking about. But mm-hmm. those are the most important building blocks that we're talking about. So how could those students function in a society properly?
So what can we, okay, what can we do to really address this problem? What can we do, Gino?
Well, that big mandate is up to the government, right?
Right.
But it's going to take individual entrepreneurs and business owners and individualized persons like myself. Like, I have a school, and mm-hmm. I'm aware of these deficits, so I make sure I put those measurements in place so it does not happen at my institution, right?
So, how do you manage, let's say, a child who now comes to you, they are, just like what you said, okay, they're in grade 9, however, they're not at the grade level that they really is, quote-unquote, should be at. So how do you now address that?
All right, so all students that attend Noble, they have to take an entrance exam.
Right.
So once again, we are totally aware of where they're coming from society. So we already understand expectations of, you know, where, before they come in, where they might be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a definite answer to where they are once we have a test done, right?
Okay.
So once we have the test done, we're able to evaluate where we determine where they are strengths and their weaknesses. And then we put a plan in place to be able to address those deficits. But how do we get those deficits addressed? It's through consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's through accountability. So if you're a ninth grade student, you have to show up to school every day. And
mm-hmm.
you cannot sleep and, you know, do the things that we know students do to try to avoid learning. But our class sizes is not 30 or 35 or 40 students. So we're
right.
able to have a more hands-on approach where we have some small classes, like as low as 10 students. Our maximum class is 20. So we have a good teacher to student ratio where we can really keep an eye on our students and make sure that they are engaging during
mm-hmm.
their class time, right? Another thing too, all students have a mandatory average that they have to be able to produce in order to go to the next grade. So we have mandatory tutoring. Like, there's a lot of things that you can put in place
mm-hmm.
to ensure that students are not falling between. If they're getting the maximum attention, we also invest in a platform. Like, we have a very good management platform where parents could receive delinquent grade results every Friday. So
oh,
let's
wow.
say that your student, your child have a D or an F in a class, right?
Right?
So we have a management system that will alert you. Plus, you have you also have access to the platform where you can see all of the assignments.
Okay.
So if you're taking English and from September 1st to September 20th, you can see 7 or 8 assignments that have been given
mm-hmm.
to that child. And
right.
if they have done it, if they got an A, if they got an F, but if they got an F, every Friday you will be alerted.
So, okay, I want to go back because I'm sitting here thinking about the name of Noble Preparatory. So, for starters, why did you want to start a school?
Well, I'm a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been coaching for a while, but being in the coaching world, we realized that a lot of these athletes are not competent in education.
Right.
All right? We could field a whole lot more international athletes, whether it's from basketball, track and field, volleyball, straight across the board, if we concentrate more on the academic side of these students, because from my point of view, literally point of view, I've seen many student athletes over the years that was the best at basketball, the best in track and field, but couldn't go nowhere because they don't have a high school diploma, right? And we're talking about the same delinquencies if a student's not being managed properly, understanding that they are born with a gift that God gave them to run fast or to jump high or to play basketball at a different level. Like their acumen for sports is really high. But then their acumen for education is not balanced.
Right.
So even if that child is the best basketball player in the Bahamas, if they can't read and write, they can't go nowhere. And I've been experiencing that through my tenure as a coach, realizing that you know what end of the stick.
Right.
So even after, I'm one of the winningest coaches, Stan. You have four straight senior boys, four straight BIS senior boys championships. Yeah, I coached at Westminster College, and I consecutively now, not win one, lose, come back.
Back to
one,
back.
Two, three, four. Four straight senior boys titles, and I walked away from that to start Noble.
So let me ask you this. Okay, what would you say? Now, don't give me everything, but what do you think that your recipe for success is? Because even though we're talking basketball, but to me, everything is a metaphor too. You know, it is something that could be applicable in other areas. So what do you think, like, what's the recipe? How did you get them to that point?
Well, first thing, you got to be a leader, right? Mm-hmm. And a leader got to lead from the front, right? You can't be a hypocrite and tell a student to do something that they see you breaking your own rules.
Right.
So the hard part of that is just being a leader. And if you're a man or a woman, just being a man or a woman with integrity, honor, and character.
Right.
All right? You can't ask people to follow you if you're not a good leader.
Right.
Why people follow Jesus? Why all the disciples just drop what they was doing? Because they find an honorable person, a person with character, who they feel like, wow, you know, this guy is doing some great things, and I just want to be around him.
Right.
Right? So it starts with you, and you know, follow him because of his name. They followed him because of his body of work and what they was able to go and research and say, guess what? If he able to help these people, maybe he able to help me. Let's give you a parable from the Bible that Jesus was in a crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all these people was touching him. And this person who was really sick said, mm-hmm. if I could just touch the hem of his garment, mm-hmm. right? So if you could have persons would have that much faith in you to say, man, if all these people, if I could just touch him, I could be healed. And Peter tell him, man, Jesus, everyone touching you. But Jesus say, no, someone touch me. I feel the divine, right? Because I feel that someone believe in me enough to follow me or come this far for me to give them this type of service. So I feel like as a leader, you got to have that type of mentality that, hey, people out here will come from far and in. But you got to be able to have some type of substantial, tangible evidence that this is what you do and this is what you can do. So for me, if a student come to me and say, well, Mr. Bullard, I need help with my education or I want to go off to college, it's because they've already done their research on me and they don't know. Well, Mr. Bullard has already helped 30 people go on to college. Mm-hmm. Not only that Mr. Bullard is one of the winningest basketball coaches, but he also owns a school that fosters education first. Mm-hmm. So even when I started NPA, I didn't play any sports for 2 years just because I didn't want people to have the stigma, oh, that's a sports school. They just playing basketball.
Because, you know, there was
exactly.
a stigma at one point.
Yeah,
that,
but
that was a basketball school.
As a leader, once again, you got to be thinking ahead. You always got to be proactive. So I already knew that was coming. So for 2 years, we competed and nothing. We just did schoolwork, academics, academics. And, you know, I'm also the manager of the Caribbean for Niagara College, so we have a very unique partnership where we're able to transition our students directly from our school to college, right? We get them accepted, we do their visas, we do their housing, and we can guarantee a parent a tertiary-level education. But the most important thing with that, Stanya, is how can we send a student to college who's not competent, not only to start college, but to complete college.
Oh, that's it right there.
So
so
we had to modify our education, our platform at our school to make sure that the students can not just survive in this local market, what we call the Bahamas, but they could survive internationally, whether they go to the Americas, whether they go to Canada, whether they go to France. Our school motto is preparing students for success in a changing world.
I was just going to say, okay, so the why the name Noble, by the way? And I get the preparatory because you're preparing them for the future, you're preparing them for college. And one of the few schools that really kind of, you know, fill in the gap between mm-hmm. high school and college, which is amazing because I know, like, when I first went off to school, I was so lost. I was long. I was lost. I didn't have a clue about what was expected, what how to survive. Or I don't think I was really prepared for college in any way. So, but why the name Noble?
All right. Remember now, my background originally is a coach.
Right.
So I had a basketball club. That name was Noble Basketball. Noble Basketball Club. But Noble was spelled N-O-B-U-L-L, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you break that down, Stanley, let me show you how I got up to come up with that name Noble, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very, you never understand unless I break it down. Mm-hmm. But Noble, right, is N-O-B-U-L-L. See that, Stanley? N-O-U-B-L-L.
Oh, Noble.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So this right here, when people think of that, they think of Noble S. You know, Noble.
Yeah, they don't play around.
Hey, that's a really intense word. So we wanted to find something that will automatically put, I won't say fair, but, you know, just a little, hey, don't mess with them because them guys don't play. Mm-hmm. But then that's what you're looking at from the exterior. But when you look at it for what it really spells, right, it's deeper than that. It's actually my name, Gino Bullard.
Oh, okay.
And we take the N-O from G-E,
okay.
G-E-N-O, and the last part of B-U-L-L-A-R-D is Gino Bullard.
Do you know who came up with that?
Well, I got to give my wife that credit.
I knew you were going to say that, because there's no way.
Yeah.
Now listen,
she helped me with that. So she's a big part of this movement, you know. She actually... broke that down for me, and like from I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, like everything is in one, like it's so divine. Right?
I thought you were gonna bring her actually. I don't know, babe.
Yeah,
she
right there. She had some things to do, but she listening. So if you're listening, shout out, Miss B. Love you. All right. But yeah, so this is how it started. But once my journey began to add more than just, you know, basketball and finding opportunities athletically, I realized from being in the school system that the students and a lot of the schools was not caring about after the trophy is won, right? Like we win these trophies for the school, but the kids ain't graduating, right?
Right.
The school is getting all this promotion, and because the school is a winning program, the enrollments is up, you know,
yes.
The morale, yes. Everything at the school is at a big time high because of the athletic program. But the students are not benefiting from it, right? So I had to take a step back from that, and I say, guess what? I have to do more. I have to do more because I cannot be a part of that saying that I am who I am, and when I bring these matters to the table, they're not being addressed. So I told myself that I cannot be a part of something and don't agree with that. That's me, and I'm being a hypocrite.
Right.
So I walked away from those four championships, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being in mind, some of my all-star students were only in grade 10.
Mm.
So I had the potential to win that BISS 6 years in a row. Well,
right.
I still have the record now. Ain't no one got four. So that didn't be in a while now.
Okay.
And I don't think that someone's going to replace it because it's very hard to win championships. I mean, consecutively at that point, you really have to have a very good program.
It's hard to stay running. At the top.
No. And guess what? When you're at the top, everybody preparing to beat you. So you
exactly.
can imagine, right?
Yes.
So on my journey now, I looked at, okay, I have to do more, right? So I couldn't use Noble because I don't want people to say the school is a Noble SH, yeah, school.
Right, so I said,
no. So I'm thinking of, you know, a similar word that can substitute and Noble, honor, character, integrity, N-O-B-L-E. I'm like, oh, once again, another divine moment.
Right.
So I could now transition Noble Basketball Club into N-O-B-L-E Preparatory Academy.
Right.
Where if you are affiliated with me as a coach, when you hear Noble, you're still associating me with N-O-U-B-L-L. But now we have made a complete transition into the academic world, where academic now is our priority, and I actually put that athletics on the background.
So, okay, because, you know, this hour goes by so quickly. Now, because I was ready to go to Niagara College because you made it such a smooth transition from like where you are into college. So tell me about like what have you done with that, and tell me about Niagara College, because, you know, I met some of your students. I interviewed a lot of them, and what stood out to me is the hope, you know, it's a dream that they never thought that they could do, or they could, they would go to college. And so making that a reality,
mm-hmm.
powerful.
Yeah. So what we have done was make a tertiary level education, Stanya, practical, realistic, and affordable.
Right.
A lot of people still stuck in a colonial mindset of we need a degree, we need a this to be successful because they're chasing titles, right?
Right.
But a lot of persons don't realize that the world has evolved so much now that employers in the world are looking for skills. They're looking for technical things that you could bring to the table real time, right? They're not looking to hire you and put somebody in place to train you, right, to the company because they got to invest in you.
Right.
So employers out there want students who could come in with viable work experience and technical skills, right, that they can use now. I tell students all the time, if you're not able to be used, then you have no use.
Right.
So a employer have to want to need you because of what you can provide for them.
Right.
And the old traditional way of going to school and taking 4 years and taking a bunch of classes like Mediterranean Sea and all this stuff when you're doing engineering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are not practical for the day that we live in. And they actually come out of school not prepared. And then they got to go and ask for internships. So I always ask students, do you know what the internship is for? It's because you have no skills.
Right.
But if you just spend $200,000 on a 4-year school, how come you can't find employment?
Ain't
right?
that something?
Because those schools are not designed to give you that type of skills to be marketable and employable post-graduation. That's why they still have to go and do an internship.
Right.
With Niagara College, most of our programs are geared towards employer satisfaction.
Right.
So that means that the institution sat with employers and asked employers before designing the program,
mm-hmm.
what do you need from a student coming to work for you? We need skills. We need technical this. We need all these things. And guess what we have done? We have put those requests and created programs
mm-hmm.
around the job satisfaction.
Yeah, I know when I looked at it a few years ago, I think it was maybe, I know I can mess this up, but it was something along the lines of, I think it was like media production or something.
Mm-hmm.
And literally it was like, you're going into the, you're going in the news, the real news of Canada, whatever
mm-hmm.
Province that is. You're going on the set, you're going to be, so this is a part of the learning experience. It's not even an internship, as you said, it's
mm-hmm.
it's a part of the curriculum.
It's real world now.
That they have.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I was like, oh, listen, I mean, it was like every single thing that I needed to learn, that I needed to know during this time, or if I wanted to go into that area. So what are some of the things or the areas of study so that persons who are listening at least say, no, like, this may be the thing for me or my child?
Okay, so we have over 130 programs, Tanya,
okay,
that
then.
People are just not aware of.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, and even though that we have this service that's automatically a part of Noble Prep,
right.
that students already got this guidance from us internally, so the only thing they have to do is graduate with a 3-point, and we do all the work for them. Actually, we already have 7 students that are already accepted to college.
Wait, hold on,
already.
Wait, hold on, Gino. Back it on up. Okay, so persons... So your students, grade 12 and 13, as long as they achieve a 3.5 average,
3-point.
A 3-point average, mm-hmm. they can be accepted automatically into the program?
Well, they can be accepted with
a
3-point because if we are applying for scholarships locally or internationally, all scholarships start at 3-point.
Right.
So we're just making our students competitive right off the bat
right.
when it comes down to financial aid and assistance for college. But they don't need to have a 3-point to be accepted. But we actually do all that right at our campus right there
right.
at Noble. So we have over 130 programs that a lot of students just are not aware of. We have 1-year programs, 2-year programs, 3-year programs, and 4. It all based on your needs, your finances. So let's say that you know Your mommy and daddy ain't really got a lot of money, so don't swing for the fence trying to get a 4-year program when you know you can't afford it.
Right.
When you could take a 1-year program that could get you right in the workforce after 8 months. Like I just counseled a girl, she wanted to do nursing, but her parents don't have that 4-year money.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a personal support worker program that's just as efficient, but it's only 8 months. Now, this is very high. This is in demand in Canada because you have a lot of elderly people that need persons to take
right.
care of them, whether you have an autistic child or you just need someone with healthcare experience to keep your your loved one at home when you mm-hmm. go to your residence, or they could work in these assisted living facilities, right? But that job alone starting to start at over $20-something an hour just after 8 months.
$27 an hour?
So sometimes people just don't know. When we try to go with the traditional programs that we hear about all the time,
right?
But then it puts us down a pathway of not finding success when we have students who are taking these modified programs that are getting them in the workforce immediately, right? So you could do a one-year program. We got like culinary management is mm-hmm. one of the favorites, because that's just a two-year program and it has a co-op. Co-op means after your second term, you have to go in the workforce and work for 4 months. Now come back after that and you finish two more semesters, then you're done. But when you're done, you're done with viable work experience that makes you now attractive to an employer, because they have to spend no time invested in you, mm-hmm. right? Now, the culinary program is very good because it teaches you how to be a chef, how to run and manage your own restaurant, and how to do baking and pastry arts, all in just 2 years.
Wow, so you see that?
A lot of students, they want to cook, but they're thinking as a 17 or 18-year-old, so they go do this big, long, drawn-out culinary program. And they realized by 22 or 3, they tired working for somebody. If I could make them rich with all this food I make, why can't I do it for myself? But guess what they got to do now? Go do a management course.
What?
Right? Uh-huh. After all that time. So we have to help them project us. You thinking as an 18-year-old, but if you can do a two-year program that can give you everything you need for the rest of your life, you don't have to reinvest. Right. And even if you go and be an entrepreneur now, and let's say that now that you're cooking, now that you could run your own restaurant because you took the management course during the same time, but you're doing lunch and you're doing dinners, but you realize people come and stand in for coffee.
Right.
You do baking and that as well. So mm-hmm. you could make pastries and you could offer a straight 6 to 11 or 12 facility. But uh-huh. we encourage students to be programs that can give you an opportunity to work for yourself.
To be a business owner.
So this is why we have to start re-educating Bahamian students and what's going on in the world, because I feel like we're just being localized, right?
So, okay, we have like 2 minutes left. So just one quick question. So if someone is not at Noble, how do they now, how do they be a part of, let's say they're interested in going to school in Canada? Is there an age limit?
No, we actually have more mature students that are applying because of the benefits of I would say migrating at this point, whereas adults are just frustrated with their jobs that may not have a ray of sunshine at the end. So I don't want to call it dead end, but they may not see a tunnel down there.
So it's an opportunity to learn, to get a certification, a degree, and also an opportunity to live abroad.
All in one.
Okay.
So when mature people hear it, they realize, like how I just said, if you could do this one program and you could start making this much money, then, the way education in the world now has changed. But a lot of persons are not aware. And even parents are afraid, thinking that they got to spend $30,000. We've been able to get students in college with first term paid and first term of housing for $12,000.
I was going to ask you about the housing.
$12,000.
So, okay, do you have an information meeting? Or do you book one-on-ones for consultation? Like, how come a part of this?
We actually just hosted an information meeting with one of my colleagues from Niagara College, right at Noble. I think that was last week and a half. Okay. All right, so, but persons can reach out to us on our Facebook page. They can reach out to us on our personal lines at the school, which is 666-676-055. Mm-hmm. They could email us. We're located right on Nassau Street in the Base Road Business Center. We are online. All you got to do is Google Noble Preparatory Academy, put in Gino Bullard. All these things will come up and you will get all the resources that can lead you right back to us.
Is it too late to apply for January?
Well, and the thing about it, Stanya, I just got a student in Motive Power, our automotive program yesterday.
Really?
So we still have small windows, but the great thing is having a person in the middle like me that could liaison with administration and say, guess what, man, I got two students I'm trying to get in. Let me know if anything come available.
Right.
So the minute it open up, they'll send me a message that's from being inside. But okay. Outside student, they probably will tell them everything is closed now.
Okay, so it would be best to come through you.
Yeah, they give us a shout. We still accepting students for a small window for winter. Spring is in April, and the majority of students right now is for fall, which is September 2025.
Okay, Gino, thank you for being a part of the show today. We're going to end it today. It's 2:01. I surprised. I ain't see nothing. Dwight ain't messaged me. Tell me come off the air. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they like what they're hearing.
Hello, somebody. All right. So once again, if you have a child who you may have some concerns about in terms of education, Noble Preparatory is there. And also, if you are interested in transitioning into college, definitely in college. We'll see you next week.
Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
This is going.